Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall.
Welcome back. Today we're going to talk about what I think is one of the most fascinating of the non-medication treatments for ADHD.
This one just makes me shake my head.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
It is really, really fascinating.
It reminds me of the podcast that we did in the middle of last year about the Japanese, was it Japanese or Chinese? I know it was Eastern Asia. What was it now?
I can't remember the name of it.
Nature bathing. It was bathing in nature, basically.
Forest bathing.
Right. Not nature bathing. Forest bathing. And it has nothing to do with taking a bath in nature. It had to do with being in nature and being exposed to that environment and that setting. And so today, when we're talking about nature, it's very similar to that.
Right. Right.
And this is from an article in Psychology Today written by Dr. Victoria Dunkley, who wrote a book about technology fasts.
Right. Fast as in stop using.
Stop using, yeah.
And she recommends a 1 month fast for kids who are overstimulated by electronics. Right. Give them a 1 month fast. She said it resets their brain. Mm-hmm. In fact, the title of her book is Reset the Brain. And so she's written extensively on this topic of ADHD and the effects of technology. Now she takes this turn and gives us a nice little literature review on a very under-discussed topic, which is the effects of green.
She calls it green therapy.
Green times effects on ADHD.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in this article, she, as you said, she gives us a literature review. She goes through several.
And they're mainly from two researchers at the University of Illinois.
Kuo and Taylor.
And Taylor. And they
have the Landscape and Human Health Laboratory.
Landscape and Human Health Laboratory. So they study the relationship of landscape to
wellness,
human behavior, human wellness.
Yeah. And fascinating. Right. Because what, you know, and we were talking about this a little bit as we were getting ready to record. It's fascinating to think about because I sort of like when we were talking about meditation, I think people began the discussion about nature with some skepticism.
Skepticism, right.
You know, they look at, you know, think about hippies and they think of, and from a negative connotation.
And there's all those bad jokes about tree huggers and, you know, all that. All that stuff.
But when we look at some of the research and we look at some of the things that we know anecdotally from our own lives, there's some validity to it.
Right.
You know, our biology has not changed all that much in the last 1,000 years, 2,000 years. If we wanted to go back a little bit further than that.
Maybe more than that. Probably more than that.
Our biology hasn't changed all that much. Mm-hmm. During those times, we lived outdoors.
Right.
You know, we lived in caves and in different dwellings that we made for ourselves. But we spent the vast majority of our time outside.
And we slept at night. Mm-hmm. And we were awake and active during the day. Right. And that typically would never change.
Right. Okay. So during that time, you know, one would have to assume that some of the conditions, and you know, from anthropological studies, it certainly looks to be the case, that a lot of the conditions, especially mental health conditions, that we struggle with now, weren't present then.
Exactly. Right. No, they weren't. So
whether it's, you know, mental health conditions, but also medical issues,
right.
Medical conditions, diabetes and, you know, some of the heart problems and stuff like that,
right.
Because they spent so much more time outdoors. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we're doing some research in this area is really important because what is this relationship between being outdoors and being in nature on our overall wellness.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And as she writes about in this article, there's some evidence to suggest that being outdoors helps with ADHD.
It's just amazing. She reports on actually 4, 5, 6, 7 studies that she sort of just gives these nice little synopses of. In the first one, she cites a relationship between green settings and improved attention. So there was a study done. ADHD, children's attention after playing in a variety of settings, and they found that the green settings had the most profound effect on children's attention.
And when we think about green, again, we're thinking about nature, we're thinking about trees, and we're thinking about grass, and we're thinking about foliage.
Right, but just playing in that setting improves attention.
Right.
Okay.
Another, and that was from 2001, right. So it's been around for a little bit, about 17 years. Mm-hmm. There was another one in 2004.
Right. It's the green setting. What they did here is they put children into different settings to see what it was in different conditions. And they found that regardless of gender, socioeconomic status, or living environment, no matter what and they put kids into different settings. Mm-hmm. So there were, and the green setting, they didn't explain all of them, but they explained the green setting was the most effective in reducing activity. It wasn't the activity itself. It was the setting that it occurred in.
Right, which is interesting, because what they said was that it wasn't just the freedom of movement. It wasn't the ability to burn off hyperactivity.
Because you would think that.
Right.
You're outside running around.
Right.
Nope, didn't matter.
And they said even when you control for that, it was the outdoors and the green setting that made the difference.
And so the first study was the green setting. Mm-hmm. And then this other study was, well, maybe it's the activity that they were doing.
Right.
No, it's not the activity. There's something about the green that seemed to make the difference. The third study was
2009.
This was and
what you notice is as we go through these studies, they're narrowing it down,
right?
Because what good researchers do is they begin with a big idea, and they develop a theory or a hypothesis,
right?
And then they test that hypothesis and they say, yeah, but this could be another explanation for why we've got these findings.
Else.
And
right.
So then they do another study to rule that out. Mm-hmm. Then they do another study to rule out those limitations.
Right.
And in this one, they were looking at, well, okay, so if it's being outdoors, let's look at different types of outdoors. So rural versus suburban versus urban outdoor areas, because you're going to have differences in greenery in those types of, across those types of playgrounds. Right. We found more.
Right. Again, it was something about the green spaces.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And then this was fascinating. Some of our readers might not know the digit span test.
Right.
What you do is you give a series of numbers and have the person say them back to you. And we think it's a reflection of attentional capacity, you know, the ability to attend and focus and think about what you're hearing. And so the study was done that they took kids for 20-minute walks in a park.
Right.
And when they got back, their digit span scores increased, you know.
Right.
So again, here's one, you know, just a walk in the park will increase some cognitive ability, okay?
And the very interesting thing that she notes here is that the effect size, sort of looking at the power or the predictability of the study, was so great that it was equal to that of Ritalin.
Right.
So it was just as powerful of a finding as, you know, studies that look at the effects of Ritalin on attention.
That of the immediate effects of Ritalin.
Right.
So
right.
This isn't to say that you can take your child for a walk instead of giving medication.
Right.
But the effect of the walk is as robust.
Right.
As medication, as a drug.
Right.
You know? So I guess the message here is don't underestimate the importance.
Yeah.
Now this is fascinating.
Yeah. These are some other.
Well, this one, and I reversed these two because I started to read the second one.
Yeah.
And I thought this is so much, and so I accidentally put it first. But I've read this research before.
Mm-hmm.
But I've read it with poverty.
Right.
If you take a child out of an impoverished environment mm-hmm. and move that child to a more privileged right. environment, you move from a impoverished neighborhood
right.
to a middle-class neighborhood,
right.
cognitive abilities increase.
Right.
Just by mm-hmm. that geographic relocation.
Right.
Okay. And apparently it's the same with this. If you move from a cement building
right.
to a wooded
right.
or green area,
mm-hmm.
cognitive abilities increase.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fascinating research. It's fascinating research. And it does, I think anecdotally, we see this. It's not just from the research. You know, most of us,
right.
you know, if we go for a walk,
mm-hmm.
Walk down a path or, you know, through the right. woods or something, we feel better. We feel mm-hmm. more relaxed. We may feel more rejuvenated.
That's what
it doesn't surprise us that, you know, a lot of times when we do meditations, we listen to nature sounds when we do meditations. Yeah. So
birds and waves and wind,
right? Outdoorsy types of things, and right. so I think that there's really something to this idea of getting and finding some time outside. And what do a lot of kids with ADHD do now? Play video games.
Right.
Oh. Now, video games, mm-hmm. you know, that's an argument for a different day. But in the very least, we should balance our time with video games with our time outside.
You think of, we talked about that with nutrition, that mm-hmm. not only are you eating the wrong foods, but you're missing the right foods.
Right.
And here, you have the same thing here.
Right.
Not only are you doing something that addles the brain with right. all the electronics, but you're missing something
right.
that might have a positive effect.
Right.
So, again, you have two things
yeah.
Pulling you in the same direction.
Right. And as this author recommends,
right.
you know, taking some time to unplug,
right.
to, you know, sort of protect yourself from the
right.
the effects of the electronics, and adding in the time outside could be helpful.
That's true. Because what we're encouraging parents to do now is you have to take breaks from electronics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this
mm-hmm.
this idea of binge electronic using,
right.
that's what's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Not only because the electronics are bad,
yeah.
but what you're missing is bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't forget that you're giving up things to play video games
right.
or to be on your phone or to. You know,
right.
Don't give up the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A Room with a View.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is A Room with a View.
Yeah.
That was another movie, right?
That was another movie. That
Did
was
you
a,
ever see
was
that?
That Alfred Hitchcock, right?
No.
No?
No.
Who was that?
It was an Italian director. It was in Venice.
Yeah.
By an Italian director. Get his name.
I can't remember.
Yeah. But A Room with a View, yeah, it was filmed in Venice. I think it was filmed in Venice. Anyway, what they discovered was, I think this was about girls in particular, right? Wasn't this about females?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who, if they had a view, if they could just look out the
mm-hmm.
window at a green space,
yeah.
that there was an improvement in self-discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
That was, to me, the most fascinating of all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, because
I mean, just
it's...
just to be able to look out a window.
Well, and it goes to the importance of just the connection.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even have to be
right.
a physical connection
yeah.
walking through. It's just some type of connection through seeing or
because she was
experiencing
inside,
in some way. Right.
But just to be able to see that
mm-hmm.
Somehow settled her.
Right.
And I wonder about this genetic... That's true. It could be evolutionary biology.
Right.
It explains this. Just
yeah.
to be able to see nature.
Mm-hmm.
So you think of all those children who grew up in concrete jungles.
Right.
And the effect that
well,
that has.
Well, and I think that, you know... Certainly, that study was done in 2002,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I would love to see if they have done some subsequent studies. But you know, if you can look out your window and see some of those things, then certainly you're having some other interaction
right.
With it, and I would be interested to know because we again as we were talking before we started recording, you know, is it the increase in oxygen in the air because
right.
of so much.
Mm-hmm.
And less pollution in the
right.
air because of so much greenery.
Mm.
Is it because of what is it? You
There's
know, is
some
it just
primordial connection
right.
between us and the environment?
Right.
I guess.
Yeah. And so you know, if you have a kid with ADHD,
mm-hmm.
get him outside.
Because,
go for a walk.
You know, and this last study sort of again points us in that same
yeah.
direction. that if it's a barren landscape, mm-hmm. they put kids into a barren landscape, and they found an increase in mental fatigue,
right.
that it actually tires you out mm-hmm. to be in a barren landscape.
Yeah.
And it creates more mental fatigue.
Right.
And mental fatigue, we know, is associated with dysregulation, mm-hmm. with anger, mm-hmm. with increased violence, increased aggression, increased violent behaviors, being on a barren landscape. And I think of, was it Mad Max or some of those yeah. movies that are yeah. always on barren landscapes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And people tend to...
It's always a desert.
Right.
Always, yeah.
You know, now I know why, right? Yeah. Now I know, okay, this is why they're always filmed in a desert, because yeah. a barren landscape mm-hmm. produces those.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but this is really, really fascinating stuff. And again, I think it's... The person who wrote this article advocates that we regulate mm-hmm. the use of electronics at all ages, but mm-hmm. especially in children.
Right.
But she also offers this other thing that we right. should be doing.
Yeah,
we should be out where it's green. We should yeah. be outside.
Yeah, so.
Interesting stuff.
Try that.
When you think about what we talked about this week, about changing brainwave patterns, mm-hmm. getting outside, eating better, if you could do some combination of these,
right.
if you keep these five things in mind.
If you meditated in the forest, right. for example.
Yeah. Or if you just add these to your treatment protocols,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
if you have a child who tends to be a little inattentive or hyperactive, try these things.
Yeah.
I mean, they're free. Everything here is free.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. All right. Well, that is it for today.
Yeah. And
this week. Yeah. 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 So until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.
Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.